I just want y'all to see this, and I hope you get something out of it, because when I first started grasping rightly dividing and grace, and was sharing it with Paul Summey and with Hank and with Timmy and with David Williams and a lot of other people, a lot of youth, this was one of the areas that kind of made me hiccup a little bit, and it just was hard for me to understand. It doesn't have a thing to do with whether what I believed or not, but it is just one of those things that was hard to understand. But once I got it, it was like, this is the neatest thing I've ever seen. And so I just thought it would be a good message and good thing to look at. In chapter 5, we're going to read verse 12, and we'll go through 17. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's on. Chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, when you read that and just go through it real quickly, it can be, to me, as muddy as can be, except for the fact that it's not muddy is the fact that we know sin came by Adam. We know that. We know just in the same way that sin came by Adam, grace came by Christ. And although sin was huge in this world, grace was much larger. And so we can rejoice in that fact. But there's a lot of stuff written here that a lot of people will take wrong as they read it. And when I first went over this and it confused me, one thing you can take is you can look at verse 12 and you can skip verse 13 all the way through verse 17. Because all it is Paul is making a comment here, and then he references something to this comment that he's making. And he really finishes his statement all the way to verse 21 in Romans. So that's how I want you to see it, so you can understand. Because the biggest headache for a lot of people today, and not only that, commentaries. Most people skip right by it. When I first started grasping the grace truth, I got in a habit of looking at commentaries a lot. And I started finding commentaries would be skipped when it talked about election, when it talked about dispensation, and when it talked about verse 13. You would see these people that were well-known people would always skip over those things they did not want to talk about. And so that's what I started seeing in this stuff. And I can even remember a time asking Steve or Joe or some others about, you know, what do you use to help you? And Steve always made the smart aleck comment, the Bible. You know? But it was true. You know, it was true. You know, and I'd make another comment, he says, just use the Bible. You know, and he would always make that reference. You know, what does your Sunday school class use? The Bible. And he would always make those references, and it was always the same answer every time. Finally, I feel like I've started, can open my Word, and I can remember passages, and things start coming together. And you will if you read the Word. But in verse 13, you won't see many people make a comment over this scripture. And it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And there's one or two that will say, well, from Adam to Moses, because in, let's tell you what, go from verse to verse 14. He says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." You see, a lot of people will think, well, then from Adam to Moses, there was no law, and so therefore their sins were not imputed upon them. And that's about as far from the truth as you can get. The issue was, is the law of Moses wasn't imputed to them because the law of Moses had not been there yet. But there were many statutes, there were many commandments, there were many things that went on between Adam and Moses. You can go through Genesis and see from one story to the next. What I want to do, and I'm going to do this kind of quickly so I have time to finish, but I want you to look at how this is written and how Paul wrote it as he had a thought. So we're going to read verse 12, and we're going to skip down to verse 12 and go to 18 through 21 to see the gist of everything. And then we'll look at his thought between 13 and 17 because they're in parentheses, okay? And then we'll cover those questions. Paul says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And in verse 18 it says, "Therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And you'll see that in chapter 4 of Romans. Verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So we see that makes perfect sense when you see that by one sin, you know, all men became sin. Sin entered into all the world where all men were guilty, okay? And by what Christ did, all are justified. And He reigned much more grace abounded than sin. This is a simple comment that Paul makes, really. Now look at verse 13 through 17 at what he says about this when he says what he said, "For all that all have sinned." Verse 13, he says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the great gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." And so you can take two different messages out of this. Now one thing we know here is the fact that because of Adam, what happened? Sin entered into the world. Okay? And when I thought about this, a lot of times we think of just individuals ourselves. But let's remember, this world at one time was absolutely perfect. So much so that what? Adam walked with God. Adam himself was perfect, right? We know that when we study the Word. Anything in this world that is wrong, whether we think so or not, because a lot of times we try to justify, well, I don't think that's too bad, or I don't, you know. Let's face it. Anything in this world, because of what Adam did, not just the individual, but the ground, the earth, everything, every type of material, every bit of it is tarnished because of sin. By the way, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, all of those things that go on in this world are because of what? Adam. It came from Adam. Not just the individual, but everything, you know. And so that's what we've got to know, is the fact that it's not that we're under condemnation when something goes bad in our area, like the tornado that hit Ringo last year. The issue is, because of Adam, sin entered into the world, and this world is going to hell. No matter how hard we try, how hard we work, how good we try to be, the issue is sin is in this world. That's one thing we've got to know and we've got to have an understanding of. And it entered because of Adam. We know the world at one time was perfect. Not just the sin of man is here, but the whole world is cursed. And we're in it whether we like it or not. Right? Now there are many things that I bring upon myself that affect me. You know, there are many things that I do that are wrong that I'm affected by. There are many things that I'm innocent of, but I'm still affected because of the sin in this world. Would you agree? You'd be the same way. But in Romans 5:13 it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now many people read this verse and they think that the time between Adam and Moses, that sin was not imputed. And to understand this, we know we got to know what imputation means. Okay, it's similar to what Paul said in Philemon, right? When he said in Philemon 1:18, "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." That would be imputing, right? We're credited. We get something by not, you know, by imputing something. Okay, and. But a lot of people think that they're under performance, but during this time, they'll read the Scripture and think during that time there was no imputation. They'll take that Scripture as that's what it meant. And that's not what it means at all. Because there's a few Scriptures that you can look at and you can see from Adam to Moses where there was one thing after another that went on. Right? Take, for instance, Cain and Abel. What happened to Cain? He was cursed, wasn't he? Well, that was before the law, right? But there were things that he needed to do. He needed to give a better sacrifice, right? Abel gave a more perfect sacrifice. So there must have been a law before the law of Moses and statutes before that. What about circumcision with Abraham? So it wasn't that there were no laws back then and they didn't have imputation on them. It was the fact that there were different laws than the law of Moses. When Paul speaks of the law, all through Romans, he speaks of the law of Moses. And that's what you got to remember. But before the law of Moses, there were still laws that went on that they had to follow. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? Right? There were things they had to do. There were statutes that still had to take place. All the way back to the point where Adam took of the fruit. All the way through the point of Moses. You can. What about Babel? How did God deal with man then? He dealt with man in the same area. So those are things that we need to remember that there was still statutes that man always had to follow from the point that Adam sinned. And it was always under performance all the way the law of Moses, and then from the law of Moses all the way until Paul received the dispensation of the grace of God. We need to remember those things. Trying to think of a good... go to Genesis chapter 26, just as an example.
There was no law from Adam until the law of Moses. So that's why everybody did whatever they wanted to do. So there was no law, and so we had...
A lot of people thought that way, but God always had statutes and laws to follow, because how would Cain have known what kind of sacrifice to give had he not been told how to sacrifice?
Abraham paid tithes.
That's right. Abraham paid tithes. They gave off the land. they were told to give. Circumcision. Absolutely. All those things were. And in Galatians 26 is one of the best examples that I saw in verse 1. Genesis 26:1. It says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham," what? "Obeyed my voice," and what? "Kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So, what Paul is speaking of in Galatians 5:13 cannot adhere to the fact that there was no law before Moses, right? Because it's clear there was. Okay, but a lot of people will take you like there wasn't, and just what you said, that the whole world was going crazy. The whole world was going crazy because they were disobedient and they were irresponsible to a holy God. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. In fact, since you said that, let's go to Romans 1 real quick. If you look at Romans 1 and you go to verse 19, I believe here Paul is speaking of the history of before the law of Moses. If you go through Romans, you'll see history in chapter 1. You'll see the history of what took place. And if you look at verse, tell you what, look at verse 18. Verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." They knew the statutes and the laws and what they were supposed to follow before Moses. Adam knew what God told him about partaking of the fruit. He knew that. He took it anyway. He was disobedient to the commandment of God. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Well, that's why He destroyed the world, right? With Noah, and He saved Noah and his family. And that was it. Because it says God was repentant. Why? Because they were all disobedient unto His statutes. There was even, now that you say that, there was even laws or how God dealt a man by their diet and what they ate. Right? So there were those things that man had to follow. And I'll get to my point in a minute. One thing that I want you to notice that I never thought about until I studied this. But verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now I'm going to stop right there. I want to finish this, but I keep going in another area now. I don't mean to. But this is really interesting to look at. Another thing that you'll notice is, and Steve, you did a message on this forever, on the right, on holding the truth in unrighteousness. These people knew the truth. What was the issue? The imaginations of the mind, the things they thought about, the things they dwelt on, their selfishness of their heart. They knew the truth, But what happened? God gave them to a reprobate mind because they held it in unrighteousness, doing those things that were not right. It wasn't so much the battle started here, the battle started here. Knowing the truth and ignoring the truth. It's the same thing today. There are many that have grasped the grace of God and are determined to think or to put something, some kind of performance in front of them as if they're saved. It doesn't save them at all. It's not a gospel at all. Right? We'll continue on in verse 28. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working with that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, that's the first thing he mentions. You know what I'm saying? The first thing he mentions is the issue of knowing the truth and doing those and holding it in unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, and I can go on and on and on. But it says, I go on and on and on. And you know what I think about here? What I said a while ago. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, finally, God was repentant. Right? So what takes place? People were going crazy. But there were still things to follow. There were still things that were needed to be done. You know, and Paul's sharing this history of what God did because of that. From Adam to Noah to Abraham to all the way down the line, there was always man. After he destroyed, look what happened again. Same kind of junk. Holding the truth. And people knew. They were the statutes of God. And they could follow it and they knew it. But that was a good example in Genesis 26:5. It says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So, we do know that 5:13 cannot be speaking of that there was no law at all. It was the fact that Paul references in Romans, every time he mentions the law, he's speaking of the law of Moses that I've seen. I've not seen it one time that he's not. But there was a law in effect prior to Moses. So even though there wasn't a written law in effect that Paul refers to, there was still a law in effect where God was imputing things to man. Okay? And that's what we know. By the way, there are also today laws, commandments, and things that Paul refers for us to do. Now, doesn't Paul say we're not under the law? Well, what law would he be speaking of? The law of Moses. And that's what you got to understand, because there are things that we are to follow today. The difference is, though, it has nothing to do with our salvation. It has to do with the fact that we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. What were the old things? I always thought the old things were doing bad stuff. And not going to church, or not singing in the choir when I should have, or going to a bar, or not being... I mean, honestly, the old things, those are things you shouldn't do, too. There's a lot of things of those that you may not should do either, but the old things was what? The law of Moses. Right? There was something new. And it was the grace of God. I know I'm not going to get anywhere near where I wanted to go. I'll tell you what, go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We know there were laws from Adam to Moses. We also know there was a law with Moses. Right? From Adam to Moses, there was always something that was going on. There was always some kind of performance or work man had to do. To be faithful to God, he had to do what God told him to do. By the way, the law of Moses, it was the same way. Right? There was always something man needed to do. See, the issue is the dispensation itself that they were in. There are many dispensations. Okay? But in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." This reminds me of what you said a couple weeks ago, Paul, about following the last order first. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." You know what the difference is with us today? Even from Adam to Moses, before the law of Moses, God was still imputing their sins upon them. A lot of people read that and they'll say, "Well, they must not be." We've proven that's not what Paul was talking about. Right? This dispensation that we're in this grace of the glorious gospel of grace of God that was given to Paul to share with us, that we now know is the fact that we are the only dispensation that our sins are not imputed to us. Is that not exciting? That is an awesome thing to know. That we are the only ones that did not have to perform. You know, the issue was that God put His Son to perform for us. And He did it perfectly. And He says here, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now that's where Romans chapter 5 comes in to be exciting to me, is the fact that you see what Adam did. It was perfect before. And because of Adam, sin entered unto the whole world. The whole world was cursed. All man was under sin. And death would reign because of sin. But that was a huge thing, right? I mean, think about it. Sin never in this world, okay, that God, I believe, recreated in Genesis 1-2. Perfectness all the way through, and Adam messed it up. What Adam did messed it up. Not that, and it also says that all men sin. Not in the same similitude as Adam. That means we may not have done the very thing that Adam did, because I think we probably did a lot worse, but it's still sin. But even much more than that, although sin entered because of Adam under a perfect world that we ain't got a clue about, much more than that, God justified us, okay, by His grace. Which one's bigger? What Adam did to mess it up, or what Christ did that we can't ever mess up? I would think, I can see why it says much more, that grace abounded. That's just neat stuff, you know. We know that through Paul's epistles, there were many times he would mention commandments, though, and he would mention dispensations. He would mention things we need to follow. But the gospel of the grace of God is the only dispensation that performance or commandments have nothing to do with your salvation. That's why it says, much more did grace abound. That makes it much more, doesn't it? It does to me. I mean, it's just a neat thing. In Colossians 2:14, it says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." Now that finally makes sense in Romans 5:13. Sin isn't imputed where there is no law. And so what Paul refers to more than anything else would be Colossians more than it would be before Adam to Moses. Wouldn't it? I just think that's just interesting. We should show people that they're sinners. We should show people where I believe the law, Paul mentions how the law is important for people to see who they were without Christ. But it's important to the fact that we can show them what is much more important. And that's the abundance of grace.